All right. Great job this morning. By the way, if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah. I'm going to give you a little bit to get there, and we'll be there in just a little bit. That's a story that we're all familiar with, or most of us, but sometimes not too good about finding it in the Bible. If you need to, go to that table of contents, look it up. That'll give you a little time to get there. If you want to, you can go to Psalms, right in the middle. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then it goes Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. And some of you are thinking, you did not help me at all. This morning we kick off a new sermon series. It's entitled Fishtails. Now you need to know this. Don't get confused between Sunday morning sermon series of Fishtails and Wednesday night Bible study throughout the summer of Hooked. The idea behind Hooked is that we're going to look at some stories. I'll show you that in just a second. But we're going to look at some stories about Hooked, about people bringing others to Jesus. They hooked them. But on Sunday morning, we're going to look at some fishtails. Now, one of the things we all know about fishtails, and that's T-A-L-E-S, not T-A-I-L-S, fishtails. We know that people tell fishtails that they just don't believe them. We're going to look at some of the great stories in the scriptures that people would say, if it weren't in the Bible, people would say, that is unbelievable. I don't know that I buy it. But I want you to know this. We live in a culture where a lot of people don't buy it, even though it is in the Bible. But we're going to look at some stories over the next 7 or 8 weeks called fishtails that you're going to be amazed by. Some of them will be new ones to you that maybe you've never heard. Some of them will be old ones like the one we're going to look at this morning with Jonah. But we're going to walk through it. So if you've got your Bible, keep it open there because we're going to do quite a bit of reading this morning. But I'm going to walk through pretty fast. So you're going to have to kind of turn your ears on this morning and get hooked up with me. When I think about fishtails, if I told you, hey, we all think about fishtails, that they're huge. I want you to watch a video this morning. We'll push play on it in just a second. But when I was in Odessa, when we lived in Odessa, our church had a fishing trip that we did a couple of different times at one of the lakes down there. And you can see that's the guy on the front there. His name is Trent. He was a friend of a friend, and he's kind of he's pretty wealthy, and so he traveled and fished a lot. That was one of the things he did for fun. And so the day that we went on the trip, Jansen, Will, and I got to go out on the boat with Trent. Now, you're going to hear him say, so make sure we get the volume up enough there, Tony. But you're going to hear him say, it's a whale. And when he says that, you all think the same thing I do. It sounds like a fishtail. I want you to watch this video here. It just takes us about a minute and a half. But that's Will fishing there, if we can get it to go.
Yeah, that's an 8-pounder.
That fish ain't worth that rod.
Just let it come to you. When you start swimming to you, start reeling. Every time he swims to you, just start reeling. Keep your rod tip up high, just like you're doing good on your rod tip. Rod tip up high. Or he's fixing to jump. He's fixing to jump. Reel him up. Reel him up.
Remember, it's a whale.
That is a whale. That is a whale. Just join the 8-pound club, dude, to get him in. Reel him in. Reel him in. Reel him in. Reel him in. Oh, he's so fat, he can't even jump. Look at that fish, baby. Woo! Woo! Give me some of that. Give me some of that. That's a swim bait fish right there, baby. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Woo!
Oh, my goodness. Good hook set. See? All the way through his mouth. Good hook set. Oh, my goodness.
You gonna hold him?
That is close to 10.
You better get two hands for that one.
That is close to 10.
Put your reel down.
That is a 9.5-pound bass.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta have two hands on
it. I couldn't believe it.
That is a 9.5-pound bass.
Let me get to the side so I can see him.
Hold him out.
Turn to the side so I can see him.
Turn him sideways. Hold him both hands. In your mouth. Go ahead and grab him in his mouth. Hold him. Hold him sideways so we can see how
there big. There you go. I thought he was telling a fishtail when he said, it's a whale. I want you to know he was wrong. It didn't weigh 9.5. It weighed 10 pounds, 2 ounces. Will has just always had a knack for catching fish. Now, I remember a couple of things about this. I remember the first time when Trent said, "It's a whale." And I thought, well, that's nice, because Will really caught it all by himself. He set the hook, did it all. He was fishing with the top water, and I guess Trent saw it hit it, and he just knew it was that big because he fishes a lot. I remember Will catching that thing. The other thing that I remember, you'll get a kick out of, look at this picture. How about that? 10 pounds, 2 ounces. Now, one of the things that I remember, Kurt, you'll get a kick out of this. Notice Will's hat right there. I had to do a little help with him. You already saw it, didn't you? Go to the next picture. We kind of got it almost out of the frame there. Now look at this last one. Somebody on that fishing trip gave Will a Texas Longhorn hat. And I could not believe it when we got all done and I started looking through pictures. We got stinking Texas Longhorn hats. Any Texas Longhorns out there? Yep. There are a few. Jennifer would say that's the reason that he caught the big fish is because he had his lucky hat on. But you know, for us, sometimes we hear fish tales. People tell all kinds of stories about fish. And most of the time when they start telling us about how big their fish was, that we go, yeah, that's a tale. But I want you to know we're going to study a fish tale this morning that's not unbelievable. It's factual. It sounds unbelievable, but it really happened. I didn't really think Will caught a whale. I thought it was going to be one of these little jobbers. But he caught a monster. We're going to look at a story this morning that's the same way. Look at what it says in Jonah chapter 1. I want to read it to you real fast in case you're not familiar with the story, but it says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because their wickedness has confronted me." However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Then the Lord hurled a violent wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up and call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. Then we will know who is to blame for this trouble we're in." So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us who is to blame for this trouble we're in. What is your business, and where are you from? What is your country, and what people are you from?" He answered them, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this you've done?" For the men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you to calm this sea that's against us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. And in verse 12 it says, he answered them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea so it may quiet down for you, for I know that I'm to blame for this violent storm that is against you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Yahweh, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood, for you, Yahweh, have done just as you pleased." Then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Most of us have heard that story before. It's fascinating. The part of the story that most of us know is the last verse. Then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's the part of the story that most of us know. But I want you to flip over to chapter 4. I want to read something to you real quick, and we're going to kind of walk through the entire book of Jonah real quick this morning. Now, don't get panicked. There's just 4 chapters, but I've got a couple of things I want to show you in each one of the chapters I think that's important, because most of us know the story of Jonah, and we really just know chapter 1, and to a large extent, we really don't know just chapter 1. We only know one verse in chapter 1, but there's so much more to the story. Jonah chapter 4, it says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place.'" Now keep your finger there, because the issue was God wanted Jonah to go talk to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah did not want to talk to the people of Nineveh because he knew that God was a God of love, and he was afraid that God would let the people of Nineveh repent. And did not want them to have God's blessing and forgiveness and grace and mercy. Jonah wanted them to have God's judgment, and so he didn't want to go. So he decided instead of going to Nineveh, he would catch a ship and head for Joppa and for Tarshish. And on the way, there was a storm, and they threw him overboard, and the fish swallowed him, the whale did. Does that make sense to you? Now look what it says when we pick up right there. It says, "That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you," that's a capital Y, talking about God, "I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster." That's the part of the story I want you to catch. Most of us, if I said to you, what is the main character in the story of Jonah and the whale, you would most of us say either Jonah or the whale. Some of us might even say, well, it's the people of Nineveh. But I want you to know this about this particular fish tale, as well as all the other fish tales. There are some minor roles. There's some supporting actors and some supporting actresses. But what you need to know is the lead actor in the story is neither Jonah nor the whale. It's God. God, who is merciful and compassionate, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and the one who relents from sending disaster. When I think about God being merciful and compassionate, here's what I think about. When I think about compassion, I think about the Ninevites in chapter 1, that God was going to send a prophet, one of his people, to preach the good news to them in Nineveh. Now, here's what you need to know about Ninevites. The Ninevites were a part of the Assyrians. If you remember your history, if you remember your Bible history especially, the Assyrians were bad dudes. They were ruthless people of the day. They conquered and killed everybody and everything. The Assyrians were not good people, and yet God was going to show his compassion to them. I want us to look in Jonah this morning at the four chapters and the four characteristics of God. The first one he said was that he was merciful and compassionate. God was compassionate that he would forgive the Ninevites, who were Assyrians. But not only that, I think it's interesting that God is merciful. Because we always think in the story that God is merciful towards the Ninevites, which is true. But God is also merciful towards Jonah. It's interesting. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, what it says about Jonah. You know, you flee from the Lord. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, "However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence, and he went down to Joppa." Look what it says even down in verse 5, the last part of verse 5. It says, "Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep." I want you to know, when you flee from the Lord, you're headed. When he did not do what God wanted him to do, it says he went down to Joppa, and then when he got on the ship, he went down into the ship. I want you to know, for some of you this morning, you're not following where God is leading, and I want you to know, when you don't, it's inevitable you're headed down. But God is merciful to Jonah, even in the process of not doing what God called him to do. The scriptures tell us that God is merciful and compassionate. It also says that God is slow to become angry. Look at what it says in chapter 2, verse 2. In chapter 2, Jonah repents and he prays. And chapter 2 is all a prayer of Jonah. You'll have to go back and read it yourself this afternoon, but I want you to get this. It says, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from where? Inside the fish. Have you ever noticed that when things aren't going well and you seem to be on the downslide, how much better your prayer life is? Have you ever noticed that? It seems like our prayer life improves in those times that we're down. Hey, Kevin, it gets better when we're having tough days, doesn't it? It's great to see you here this morning. I'm so glad you're doing well. Stand up over there. I want you to know that guy is an answer prayer. So many of you have prayed for Kevin, and to see him here this morning, after where you were about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I saw you at Wichita Falls, I saw you twice. You don't remember me being there either time. But I want you to know I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here this morning. I just say to you this. He says in verse 2, from inside the fish, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he said, too bad, so sad. Wouldn't want to be you. Right? No, it says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help, and you heard my voice. I want you to know this morning. If you haven't been faithful to what God's called you, and you're down, I want you to know if you'll call out, he'll lift you up. I want you to know this. You cannot be so far down that God can't reach you, and you can't be so far down that God can't lift you up. But you have to call. Jonah called. I think that's important for each of us to know. It's important for each of us to know that distress in our lives, a lot of times when we have distress in our life, not always, but we already talked about the fact that when we're in the belly of the whale, when things aren't going so well, we usually have a better prayer life. Just a FYI, I don't know if you're this way or not. I just can speak for me. But I can tell you, for me, the majority of time when I'm down, when I got stress in my life, you know who caused the stress? A lot of times we like to look around at our environment, we like to look around at other people, and we live in a culture that says it's always somebody else's fault. Blame them. I want you to know, most of the time for all of us, when we got stress in our life, it's because we caused it. We certainly play a part in it. We are stressful people. We live lives of stress, but that's because of the way we live life, because if we would live life in total obedience to the Lord, it's not that we'd always be stress-free. You'll still have struggles. But in the midst of those struggles, you'll have peace, not stress. Look at verse 6 in chapter 2. It says, I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth with its prison bars closed behind me forever. But you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. I would bet in an audience this size, in a congregation this size, I would bet there's a few of you this morning, if you were honest, I won't ask you to stand, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but if you were honest, you would say your life's in the pits this morning. And I want you to know, if you'll reach a hand up, God will always, always, always reach a hand down. But you got to reach the hand up first. You got to be willing to say, hey, life's the pits. Not only is God merciful and compassionate, and God is slow to become angry, but Jonah also said that he is rich in faithful love. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Hey, are you glad God gives us second chances? How many of you have ever used your second chance? Aren't we glad he gives second chances? And he only gives Jonah two because Jonah figured it out. The truth of the matter is Jonah is smarter than some of us because some of us need a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. But aren't you glad however many times you reach up from however low you are when you reach up, God grabs you. But also, aren't you glad that every time you reach up, however many times every is, that God reaches down? You see, he gave Jonah a second chance, and I want you to know some of you this morning need to use your next chance today. You need to get right with the Lord before you leave here this morning. You need to use your chance today. I don't care if it's your second chance, your 45th chance, or your 319th chance, but I say this to you, you got a chance, but use it today. Get back where you're supposed to be. God is rich in faithful love. It's not just that he is love, but he's faithful love. And not only it's just that he has faithful love, but he's rich in faithful love. You know what that means? That means no matter how much you need, God's got it covered. This last week, I got to spend the week at Altus. I preached on Sunday morning in my home church. Always fun to get to do that. But then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I taught two sessions each morning. They do an adult Bible study with their adults who aren't working in vacation Bible school and want to come to Bible study, and they do vacation Bible school. We eat, and we had a great time. We didn't do arts and crafts. I was a little disappointed. I don't have any fancy pictures to show you. I didn't make any stick men out of popsicle sticks, nothing like that. But we had a great time. But I got to tell you, one of the fun parts about it is not only did I get a chance to preach the Bible and to teach people, which I love to do, but I got to spend the week with my dad. Now, how many of you know what it means when you get to spend the week with your dad? Now, I'm 50 years old. But you know what happened every time we went to eat? Dad paid. That's awesome. It was like I lived for free this week. And never once did he say, hey, have anything you want as long as it's in this column. Order anything you want as long as it's on the front page. Don't turn the page. We just go in and order, and when they bring the bill, he just paid it. I guess rich. But it says God is rich in faithful love. I want you to know, however much love you need, God's got it covered. Never once did Dad say to me, hey, you got a couple bucks I could borrow. Every time he just whipped out the money and paid for it. Now it cracked me up because he's old school like some of you. He paid cash every time. I just get out my debit card. But it was neat to know that every time Dad's got it covered. I want you to know God's got it covered. He's rich. He's not just love, and he's not just faithful love, but he's rich in faithful love. He gave Jonah a second chance, and I want you to know some of you this morning need to use your second chance. The last thing it says is God relents from sending disaster. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 10. The last verse of chapter 3, it said, then God saw their actions. Their actions were that they had started fasting. The king called for a fast, and they wore sackcloth, and they were mourning that they hadn't been faithful to God in Nineveh. The people of Nineveh began to fast and to pray and ask God to forgive them of their sins and to bring them into rightful obedience. And then it says, then God saw their actions, that they had turned evil ways. So God relented from the disaster, and he had threatened to do to them, and he did not do it. I want you to know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But this morning, if you would ask God to forgive you of your sin, I want you to know he will relent from judgment and death for you eternally in hell, and he will give you a place called heaven. That's what all of these teenagers and children testified to, is the fact that they've trusted Jesus with their life. Does that mean they're never going to make mistakes, that they're never going to do anything wrong, that they're never going to need another second chance? No. But it does mean that they used one of their chances and said, hey, I'm in. And God said, I'll forgive you. I'll relent. I won't pass judgment on you. I'll give you grace and mercy and forgiveness. I think it's interesting. Right after we read that in verse 4, that Jonah says, I knew that you are merciful and compassionate, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. Look at verse 3. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's in verse 3. Then God, it says, sends a plant that will give Jonah shade and give him cool. And then God sends a worm to eat up the plant so that Jonah's back in the hot sun. And in verse 8, it says, as the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he almost fainted and he wanted to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Aren't you glad God is relentless? I couldn't help when I was reading and studying this week about this story and thinking about this story. Do you realize that God could have zapped him and killed him and said, well, I just answered his prayer. It said, he said to God, God, I'd be better off if I was dead. Why don't you just kill me? Do you realize God could have went zip? But he didn't. Why? For the same reason he don't go zip to me and zip to you. Right? Because he loves us. It's a fascinating story. I want you to catch the idea that the main character of this fish tale is God. And I want you to keep in mind that the storyline is whatever chance you are on, God's got enough. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't care if you're 7, I don't care if you're 15, I don't care that we're not at Falls Creek, I don't care if you're 35, I don't care if you're 65, I don't care if you're 83. I don't care if you go to church here normally or don't go to church here normally. I don't care if you've been going to church here for the last 80 years. It doesn't matter whether everybody thinks you're a Christian or whether they don't. If you know you're not, I want you to know this morning, if you'll just reach a hand up, God will reach a hand down. But you do have to reach a hand up. Our staff will be here at the front. Would you reach a hand up this morning? Josh, if you and the band want to go ahead and come on up. Would you this morning, if you're here and say, hey, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you be willing to just reach a hand up this morning and say, hey, I don't understand everything about it, but I do believe that Jesus is God's Son. I do believe that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. That's all you got to understand. Everything else you can learn later. The Bible just says put your faith in Jesus that he's God's Son. If you confess with your mouth, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can have a second chance. There's some of you this morning that had no intentions of making a decision for Jesus when you arrived this morning. Would you? Would you be faithful to reach a hand up? For some of you, you're already Christ followers. It's just that you're on your way to Tarshish. You're not headed to Nineveh where God wants you to go. I want you to know you're on the way down. Some of you already know that. You are down. I want you to know this morning, if you'd reach your hand up, God will call you back. He's rich in faithful love. Would you, I'm not asking everybody, I'm saying you, I'm looking at you, would you be faithful this morning to use your chance and make sure when you leave here you're where God wants you to be? Alex will be here. Drew will be here. I'll be here. You can come and pray at the altar yourself. Use your second chance this morning. If you got a question, catch one of us. We'll lead you to the Lord. Let's pray.